Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Church, before we go any further, I normally, you're like, third song, what? Don't we have another song? Oh, you need to know the name of Jesus right now. You need to know the name of Jesus right now. You know, this week has been a week. We've all seen death this week. Every one of our minds has been exposed to something we're not supposed to touch. In the Old Testament, it talks, do not touch death. Do not touch death. People would be washed and cleansed from death. And what we saw was not just death, but a man that spoke the name of Jesus, life taken. And I'm telling you right now, the gates of hell are trembling, because when you take one of God's own sons, you might be thinking, why is my spirit so downcast? Because we are a family. We are a body. We are all connected. Those that follow Jesus are all connected. And one of the sons was taken. And Jesus is on the rise. He is on the rise. I'm telling you, light is going to break forth like you've never seen. I'm telling you, He is calling sons and daughters home. Hear me, hear me, hear me. You've got to understand what's happening in the spiritual. You might see the physical and you might be like, I don't get it. And you might be caught up in the physical of what happened this week. People celebrating the murder of a man that spoke the truth of the word of God. Now, here's the deal. When it comes to politics, you might have actually had a stirring in your spirit. He deserved it. Oh, innocent blood. I'm telling you right now. I woke up on Thursday morning at 4 a.m. with the sound of a song ringing through my spirit. Oh, death, where is your sting? You have nothing, nothing on me. I didn't know why. It was a song that was speaking to me when Alan Lucas passed away 2 weeks ago. Oh, death, death, where is your sting? You've got nothing, nothing on me. And I thought it was, you know, like I go, oh my gosh, one man gone. A seed sown, may many know Jesus because of his life. I woke up on Thursday morning. Literally, the words of that song woke me up. I went downstairs. I was like, why? I sat and I was writing what I'm going to share today with you today. You need to get ready. This is not a time to be asleep. And I sat at my computer. I was seeking the Lord. And halfway through it, I end up opening my phone and I see Charlie Kirk has been shot. Pray for Charlie. Cool. So God, I pray for Charlie. I'm writing. The Holy Spirit's downloading what I'm going to share with you today. I hit finish the message. And I look at my phone and Beck's upstairs and she says, Charlie Kirk is dead. John, it's okay. It's okay. No, it's okay. You need to understand what's happening in the spiritual. Holy Spirit revealed to me in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. And it says this. They will come weeping, but I will bring them back with consolation. I will lead them to what is filled with water. By a smooth way, they will not stumble. It goes on in the Word of God. It says this. It talks about the youth coming back. It talks about the youth. You don't understand. You may go, what are you talking about, Az? And some of you are like, I'm telling you, the weeping is going to lead to joy. Because the weeping right now, you need to understand what's happening in the spiritual. For many years, there has been a blindness over the people, a dulling of the Spirit of God. A dulling. And we have fallen into the trap of following the world's ideas and theologies and doctrine and, hey, that's a good idea. I had a friend of mine from 20 years ago comment on a post when I said, this is a tragedy. And he said, it's disappointing that someone with a different view has had his voice. What? It's disappointing. It's a tragedy and it is evil. And he said, well, it's interesting, you know, with truth, and truth is not variable. Truth is a man known as Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, the life. You want truth? Stop reading everyone's ideas of what their truth is and come back to the Word of God. The great deception is that somehow through our thought process as humans without God, we can come up with a better way than God. This is what's happening in the spiritual right now. Because of the blood of a martyr, the scales have fallen off the eyes. What I mean by that is there's some people that have just been in this sort of afternoon shade of faith. A little bit of light cast on their life and there's a little bit of darkness as well, and there's this too, and I'm just in the warmth of whatever I believe. The scales are off. It's either light or dark. You got to choose. It's either Jesus or not. He's either the truth or he's not. You don't get to go, I'll believe that part of the truth. He is true. Here's the thing about the Bible. People go, oh, but the Bible, you know, is written. Here's the thing. Either the Word of God is truth or it's not. It says in the Scripture that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That means that this is Jesus. The Word became flesh. And if you don't know the Word, you don't know Jesus. And in this is truth that will set you free. This week, I've had more people contact me, people who have been out of church, away from church, in the last 3 days, what I have seen has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. People coming back to Jesus. 2 weeks ago, and men's prayer. I shared a word with a man that was spoken, it stood out to me like a sore thumb. In Joel 3, you got to get ready, church, for what's about to happen. You need to know what's going on in the spiritual. Joel 3, prepare for holy war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the men of war advance and attack. Beat your plows into swords and your pruning knives into spears. Let even the weakling say, I am a warrior. What does that mean? In your daily life now, every one of you is called to share the gospel. Take your plows and make them swords. In other words, use the mundane of your life to share the gospel. May the weakling, those that say I'm weak, have courage to speak up for Jesus again. It goes on and says this, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Maybe you came here today, you haven't been in church. You're looking, you're asking the questions. Why did this man speak up every day, put himself on the line every day? I haven't watched much political conversation since he died. You know, I've watched time and time and time and time and time again talking about Jesus to people. Jesus changed my life. He saved my life. Jesus changed my life. He can change your life too. While he's being screamed at, berated, and told he's a fascist and a Nazi and this, he's like, Jesus loves you. Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my life. You've all seen it this week. I've had a couple of times being a pastor where I felt like my life has been threatened or I've been under attack. moments of fear has hit my heart in the last 5 years. Moments where I'm like, I don't know what to do. Just a couple. This guy faced it every day. Thousands and thousands and thousands of death threats. He knew what he was doing in a sense of putting himself out there going, I have courage. You can take my life. You cannot take my soul. We don't, as Christians, mourn Charlie Kirk in a way like others mourn. We mourn for his family and his kids. We mourn for those that are lost. We mourn for the teenagers and young people, the millions of teenagers and young people that need a voice to say what is true. But we do not mourn like others mourn. We actually celebrate a life because he ran till the very end. He didn't stop because of fear. He ran into the face of fear. And right now he is alive more than ever before. And I believe wholeheartedly there are men in heaven that their lives have been taken, but they are screaming, keep going! Grow a backbone! The world needs you. So when we say, shout Jesus from the mountains, and we sing this song, here's another great testimony. I've had different people in the city contact me, sending me stuff about Jesus this week. People are, you? And going, Az, this is really interesting. I've been able to share Jesus with people I never thought I'd ever be able to share Jesus with. It's on now. It's game on. Every person you come into contact with in the Redlands right now is open to the gospel. Everyone. Not one person. You bring up Jesus, they'll have a conversation. They're in the valley of decision. They'll either say yes to the light or no. But now we have to go. And we're going to sing this again. We're going to sing this by faith, believing that Redlands will be one for Christ. The Redlands will be one for Christ. There is a move of God. Maybe your spiritual ears are closed, your spiritual eyes. I'm telling you, wake up. Great move of the Holy Spirit. Your intellect will not get you to heaven. A relationship with God, His Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray, we're going to sing. And then I'm going to come up and I'm going to preach. What God downloaded to me. And I think it's so timely. Holy Jesus, right now. Holy Jesus, right now. Jesus, your name, and on your name there is all power. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus, you are Lord. God, right now I pray as we sing this song, it will not just be a song but a declaration over our families, those that are lost, over our neighbors, over our workmates. It'll bolster our strength and courage to say, no longer will we believe the lie, we will believe your truth and we will follow it, even if it costs us everything. Let's sing. Let's sing. Holy Jesus, today, would you speak to us? Reveal to us how to keep running this race, how to persevere with the faith. May your word speak life. May people be set free by your truth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, you can take a seat. It's an interesting day in church. And there's no doubt in my mind that this word that I'm going to speak this morning is for such a time as this. This word was not written this week. It wasn't written after. This word was written 3 weeks ago. I'll tell you why it was written 3 weeks ago is my life got really busy. And I felt the Holy Spirit download this. And I wrote it. In fact, I've shared this message with a few people already because it's been burning in my heart for a month now. God sees things. He sets us up for different seasons and times. And so today, we actually wrap up a series, The Mind of Christ. This is the final one. Who's enjoyed this series, by the way? Like, just really? This is the final one, the final installment of The Mind of Christ. And to be honest, thank you, Josiah, for bringing this to my attention at the start of the year. But I could sit on this message, on this idea, for the entire year, I reckon, and still not get to the bottom of really what Jesus was thinking in his ministry. His entire ministry, what was he thinking about? We talk about this entire time that we can't do things Jesus did until we think like Jesus thought. We have to move from a place of the thought process. What was Jesus thinking while he was doing his ministry? His entire ministry was set on things above, on things that were eternal. Paul writes this, the apostle Paul writes this. I actually want to just stop there and say this. The apostle Paul, in his time, took the life of Stephen. The apostle Paul was the one that pulled the trigger that none should be lost. God loves all mankind and calls all to him. You're never too far gone to come to Christ. And Paul, after his revelation of Jesus, writes majority of our Bible in the New Testament. He writes these letters to the early church and he says, hey, you can imagine the weight of taking the life of Stephen, a man that was speaking up for his faith in Jesus. He did it, by the way, out of a righteous anger for his faith, for his belief system. But it was the revelation of Jesus, the light hits him. On the road to Damascus, while he is raging to kill more of this way, and Jesus changes his life. And so Paul writes these things, the guy that killed the first martyr. He writes this, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Our goal in this life is to be more like Jesus. Jesus' thoughts were always on things above. His thoughts were on the will of his Father. His thoughts were on what truly mattered and needed to matter to us. His thoughts were towards the Heavenly Father and those things that are eternal. So much so that Jesus said it in his final moments when he knew that his life might be lost, well, was going to be lost. He said these words in Luke 22, 42, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. I'll follow through because my mind is on things above, on the things that the Father needs. Jesus teaches us as his followers in Matthew 6, 9 to 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus' thoughts were constantly, God, your will be done. Even the way he taught us to pray. Jesus taught what he constantly thought. Every word he spoke from was a thought process, a desire to bring the glory to God, his Father. And this is how we should function. We want to do the will of the Father. Our thought life should be, how do I love God with our heart, soul, and mind? How do we love our neighbors? How do we do this? Today I want to say again, if you want to follow Jesus, it's going to cost you something. It'll include your thought life. What you think about, what you decide to do will back up your thought life. To follow Jesus, you're going to daily have to renew your mind to go another round. To follow Jesus, you're going to make mistakes. Can I make this very clear? Charlie Kirk is not Jesus. Charlie Kirk did not earn his way to heaven. Charlie Kirk was a sinner like you and I, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. But it is by grace. What Jesus did on the cross through his death and resurrection gives us the ability to do our very best to try and follow him the best that we know how. And in his humanity, he got it wrong, just like you and I. He is not the Savior, Jesus is. But to follow Jesus, our mind must be resolute. To have the mind of Christ, we must have a mind that perseveres through all things. And today I'm going to pray that we have the mind of Christ that is perseverance. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I pray that our minds will be renewed again, that they will be renewed in a way and shown how we can persevere to run the race till the end, to follow you, Jesus, in a dark world. Amen. Well, we all know that Jesus had an incredible ability to persevere, didn't he? To go the extra mile, to not tap out when he could have had time and time again, he persevered right to the point of death. Death on a Roman cross. His tenacity and ability to not give up was incredible. It was Jesus' courage to keep going that allows us to keep going when times get tough. Many things that I saw this week, I mean, we've all just been in the vacuum of our social media, constantly churning through ideas. And there's so much false narrative. Guys, understand. How do we look through this stuff? I mean, we are being lied to everywhere, left, right, and center. So how do we know what is truth? Once again, Charlie's not the Savior. Jesus Christ is. He is truth. But one of the things I did see was his statement of what I want to be remembered for. My courage to continue in my faith. For courage. And that is what we need to persevere. Courage. Strength. Jesus, when he showed us in his ministry, his mind was locked in. His mind stayed towards the goal. He never lost focus, even though his mind tried to tell him to tap out. A few weeks ago, we looked at the Garden of Gethsemane. When they arrest him, and he says, I could have called down angels from heaven to save me. His mind was thinking, I actually have the power to escape the pain. But he had the courage to persevere. Because his mind was on his mission that his father sent him on, and that was to die on a Roman cross, knowing that he would raise again, and knowing because of his sacrifice, you and I could have a relationship with his father. That's what his mind was on. In fact, his mind was constantly on you and I. You go, how is that possible? 2,000 years ago, he was seeing you. He prayed for his then followers and us as well. John 17, 15 to 20, it says this, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Let's just read this verse 15 again real quick. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. The word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Just so you know what sanctification is. We don't use that at work. Do you feel sanctified today? Oh man, on the weekend I got sanctified. This is a language. In the Greek, sanctification literally means holiness. So ultimately this scripture is saying, I pray that they progressively are transformed into my holiness as I am holy. He says, your word is truth. Verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and I. So in this moment, Jesus is praying for you and I. Hey, I'm going to give you the message. You're going to go and share the truth. In fact, all of them bar one died for sharing the truth. But through their death, through their martyrdom, we are sitting here in 2025 talking about Jesus. And Jesus prayed for you and I. My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but you protect them from the evil one. Jesus' thoughts were you and I, and his thoughts were this. God, don't let Satan take them out. Don't let them fall short of anything that I have for their life. He prayed for you and I. He was like, help them persevere in their faith. Keep them strong in their faith. You need to understand this is a spiritual war right now, and it just cracked open. There is a war going on for your soul. There is a God who loves you, who wants to bring you life and life to the abundant and give you every good thing that this life has to offer. And the blueprint is the Word of God. That's how you do it. Actually do it. But there's also a devil. And his plan is to kill you, destroy you, take you out, ruin your life, rob you of every good thing by making you decide that you are God and I know better. John 10:7-10 says this, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus says, hey, you choose me, you're going to find pasture. You're going to find a place of safety, rest, and provision. But with Satan, he wants to steal from your life. He wants to rob you of everything God planned for your life and destroy it. I've come to give you a life and life to the full. When Jesus was saying, hey, hold them, Father, keep them, he was saying, protect them from the thief. That they would actually experience this life as it's intended to the full, that they wouldn't get a half run, they wouldn't be ripped off, cut short, that they wouldn't have to fall, that they wouldn't miss anything in my plans. Jesus wants you to run a life of perseverance, not missing out on anything. He will give you a way that means you will not stumble, you will not fall if you stay the path. And today, if you're feeling worn down, your soul feels downcast. Maybe fear got its way this week. Maybe you cried. I mourned this week. I cried a lot this week. Maybe you want to give up, you want to tap out, you feel burned out, you feel dry. My prayer today is that God, through his word, will refresh your soul as he also renews your mind. And today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we wrap up this series, I'm going to ask you, hey, daily, allow God to renew your mind, refresh your soul, keep going, don't tap out. Romans 12:1-2, we've used this passage through this entire series. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Die to yourself, your selfish ambition, let go of it. Kill it off. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Final session in this series, I suppose. Today I want to say to you that you might want to tap out, but it's possible to persevere with God. You can keep going, but it starts in the mind. It starts in the mind. I got to tell you, I've loved preaching this series. Why? Because my mind has been renewed. It's funny how that happens. As I've gone looking, God has been revealing to me, you need to change. Time and time again. Renewing my mind. In fact, October 12 this year, in 4 weeks' time, is our 5th year of being pastors here. 5th year. Yeah. I had no idea that I'd be here, by the way. So I hope you're okay with it. 5 years, but what I've learned over these 5 years is that God wants to continuously renew our mind. He wants to refresh us. Some of you are literally like, I'm exhausted. Some of you are feeling really exhausted right now. Term 3 is almost up. Who's looking forward to the holidays? Only 2 of you. Okay, it's just me. Okay, right. This preacher's irrelevant. No, I'm joking. And I want to challenge us this morning. What if your exhaustion and your space of wanting to tap out is actually God trying to get your attention? What if through your tiredness, he's trying to reveal himself to you? He's trying to show you that his burden is light, but you do have to connect to him. I'm like you. There's so much to get done. Some of you this morning went, I want to go to church. I've got so much to do. Don't put up your hand. I'll come and see you later. We'll pray for you. I'm joking. I can't go. I got stuff on. For some of us, we're here because we just want to get something. But a few weeks ago, I shared about how Jesus preached to his own disciples, it's not about you. You haven't come to be served. You're not supposed to be served. You are to serve. In Luke 22, we saw it. Jesus says, who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table, but I am among you as the one who serves? He says, you have to serve others. So he says, you have to get to work. You have to lay your life down. You got to keep working. You got to keep going. You got to be a servant for Jesus. And you, like I'm sure, don't really like that. Like, I like to be served. This morning, Mia brought me a black coffee. And I was like, thank you. And I was like, the life of a pastor. I mean, it's a nicety, you know. And I thank you for the coffee, guys, you know. Like, I don't need to have that. And it feels nice to be served, right? Like, I like to be fed. I like to sit and enjoy, be served. It's why we love holidays. I'm going on one in a few weeks' time. I can't wait. There's a season, you know, put your hand and someone else serves you. It's lovely. But I got to tell you, there's lots to do. And we're called to serve others. And when we feel exhausted, we go, honestly, there's so much to do. And actually, in this season, there's going to be more to do because more people are asking about Jesus. There's more to reach. And Jesus said this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The workers are few because those many just want to be served. And he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. In other words, he's saying, you've got to ask him, would you go? Would you help? But they are few because most of us just want to be served. And I'm not just talking about the church, by the way. I'm talking about like everywhere we go, we serve those around us. It was Jesus' way. I mean, there is incredible service in this place. I was thinking about all the stuff that goes on every week. And can I say thank you to everyone here who was here at 5 a.m. this morning so everyone else of us can receive the gift that you bring. I mean, like there's inside the walls of the church, just this, serving people in so many ways, you know, through worship, through the sound desk, the welcome on arrival, the kids ministry, the catering team, the Made for Love ministry, the Alpha course that's being run by a team, the prayer course that's been running on Tuesday nights, to the guys that come on Tuesday morning. There's people who help with Beacon Care, with the mental health ward. There's volunteering at the hub. There's meals that are being placed there. There are meal rosters. There's people who give up their time for security on Friday nights. They run cables for the internet. When our internet dies, Seoul, wherever you are, thank God for you. The other day, it's like Beck goes, we have a scanner again. And I'm like, that's because of Seoul. I mean, there's so much that can be done. There's so much to serve, right? And we know that because the way that we serve and bring our gift to the Lord, it brings glory to God, that other people can say, look what God did in my life. It comes back to what our mission is, to guide people home to Jesus. By the way, who came up with the idea of playing Clocks by Coldplay in the transition? Did anyone else notice that? Soul. Good old Soul. He was really good, like, you know. But here's the thing, I was like, isn't it interesting? The lyrics of that song is like, I want to go home, I want to go home, I want to go home. So while you were talking, Nick, my brain was like, whoa, God can use anything. I'm like, I don't know. But God was just speaking, I want to go home. People want to go home. They want to go home. They want to go home through a song. But every time we serve, we're really fulfilling what Jesus calls us to. And it's this passage in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, Jesus is like, your light, keep shining, keep persevering, keep going. There's so much to do. There's worship teams to be joined. Use your gift of a singer. You know, get involved. Don't tap out. But here's the thing. For some of you right now, as I talk about this, you're exhausted by me even talking about it. You're like, as don't ask me to do another thing or I might find the church down the road. And I'm going to be really vulnerable in saying this to you. As I said, this message happened 4 weeks ago. I mean, real vulnerable in saying this. I had a moment with God where I got really angry at God. He understands emotions, by the way, he gets us. It was a Monday night, and I'd just done 3 weeks of nonstop travel outside of church world, and I just had no capacity. And then the Tuesday morning, I bring a word, right? I bring a little word to the men. Every week, we don't ever stop men's prayer. But the thing is, I bring a message every week, and I had nothing. I was exhausted. I felt tired. My soul felt tired. I wanted to tap out. I was just like, I'm done. I can't do this. This is so much, so much weight. So I had an argument with God. Because I'm like, God, I'm doing all this work for you. I'm speaking in schools. I'm preaching on the weekend. I'm pouring out for people. And I've been in your presence. I had an amazing encounter. I'm reading my Bible. And I'm at me. And God goes, good. Joking. It's like a punch to the guts. And I was like, oh, good, he said. Go and get some more oil. And I'm like, what? What? How dare you speak to me like that, God? I'm your chosen vessel. Anyway, so he says, good, get some oil. But I feel burnt out. Good. That's how it's supposed to be. Get some oil. I'm like, huh? What do you mean? Your soul needs a refreshing. Get some oil. And I'm like, okay. Matthew 11, 28, 30 comes into my spirit. So I read this. It says this. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I'll give you time of... By the way, rest means this. In the Greek, it means refreshing. So read it like this. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you a time of refreshing. You will find refreshing for your souls. You will have a regaining. The refreshing also means a strengthening. You will have a re-strengthening of your soul. Understand, perseverance in faith requires refreshing of the soul. So you can keep running until your last days holding on to faith. You need a refreshing of your soul. We have to love God with our heart, soul, and mind, right? We have to love God with the physical, the heart, and our soul, the spiritual being, and our mind. So we have to have it all. And this is what we often do when we feel spiritually low in our soul. We think it's physical, so we go, I need rest for my body. So we go, oh, it's Sunday. I can't possibly go to church. I'm so exhausted. Now, in the physical, you need rest. I've learned how to sleep recently with a CPAP machine. I look like a robot, but I sleep well. Anyone who knows me understands. I used to fall asleep. I didn't realize I wasn't getting sleep. Stewie. Anyway, I wasn't sleeping. So my rest was fine. So on this night, I'm like, I'm actually really fine physically. And then we also have to have a renewing of our mind. So my mind's fine. I'm thinking on things above. But my soul was actually the thing that needed refreshing. And so you can't actually refresh your soul by doing physical things of rest. And you can't refresh your soul in renewing your mind. There's lots of studies on the mind and how you can get your mind right, healthy thinking and healthy mind. That's all great. And there's lots of things on how to get your body healthy. Eat less, do more exercise, I'm learning. But here I was on a Monday night and I'm frustrated because I'm burned out. I literally said, God, I'm burned out. He's good. Get some more oil. I start complaining. I mean, I had a real whinge that night, hey. I'm like, God, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. People are attacking me and they're all offended and like all this stuff. Like, I'm literally having like literally this back and forth. And he goes, and I'm like, I feel burnt out. Get some more oil, he says. Now, by the way, this is not a condemnation moment. This is not God saying, you suck. It was God just bringing conviction that you don't have any oil left. You've burned it. That's why you feel burned out. Your soul needs a refreshing and a renewing and a refilling of oil. We have to go and get more. And then it just hit me that we are lamps, remember, lights unto the world. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, so you that work and glorify your Father in heaven. A lamp without oil burns out. Can I just get this up here? Can I get that right now? And the Holy Spirit showed me what we're supposed to be in this world. Remember a few months ago, I talked about the menorah in the temple. Does anyone remember this? I'll get this picture up on the screen. The menorah in the temple. Understand, when people went to worship God, they went into the temple and there was a light in the temple. It was burning all the time. And the high priest, who was able to go into the Holy Spirit's presence, he was the guy that would fill this thing up with oil. Seven of them, right? And what he would do is on the first day of the week, he would light one. Fire in church. First day one, second day two. And after a week, because this oil was burning throughout the week, after the week, all the oil burns out. So it's the job of the high priest to come and fill up the oil again and light the first candle, the second candle, the third candle. But without fail, it always went out. It needed the high priest to bring light. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. When he says it, it's actually at the Festival of Lights. And so he goes, you are a menorah. You are a menorah. You are the light of the world. You bring light to everyone around you and you need to burn. And God said to me, good as, you've just burned the oil. That's why you feel burnt out. Go get some more oil. Because eventually they will burn out. In that time, I felt such a deep conviction. The Holy Spirit said, you need to spend time with me because I want to give you more oil. Now, what's interesting about this is that on the seventh day when people came to temple, they would come and get their moment with God, right? And here's the thing, for a lot of us as followers of Jesus, we just need that re-hit each week. We feel that's enough to keep us going all week. So I'm like, but I've been in your presence, God. I've been seeking you. I've got the oil and God's doing amazing things. Why am I feeling burnt out on a Monday night? And he goes, because you've been burning hard and fast. You need more oil. You are not a once a week burn. You are burning every day. And the faster you run, the harder you run, the faster the oil burns out. And you're wondering why I've given so much to God and I burned out. You just need more oil. In fact, some of you, because you do so much for God, in a day you might need to spend three times in his presence to get a refilling. You and I are a bit like a car. I mean, I got a new car 6 months ago. They said it comes with a fuel tank full. Imagine if I went, I'm going to drive it, the fuel tank ran out and said, this car sucks, it doesn't work. No, it just has no fuel. You are a light, you are all lights, but you need the oil. And you'll be set on fire by the Holy Spirit. You need God to set you on fire.
I know I keep saying the Holy Spirit said, and that's, you're like, what are you talking? Just spending time with God. He speaks through his word. This is alive. It's active. This is not an old bit of text for religious studies. This is the word of God. When you spend time in it, he will speak to you. And as I was spending time in his word, I felt drawn to go and look at the day of Pentecost. What actually happened, God said to me, on the day of Pentecost as? So I read it. This is what it says, Acts 2, 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them filled with the Holy Spirit began to speak in other tongues in the Spirit as the Spirit enabled them. God said, what did I just do to the early church? Holy Spirit hits the room, then fills them up. We know the oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Picture it like this. Jesus is the high priest. We know him as the high priest. He's the one that fills up the oil to bring light. He's the high priest. There's all this oil and then he sets it on fire so we can be bright in our community. On the day of Pentecost, they were waiting. Holy Spirit baptized them in the Holy Spirit, filled them up. Boom, you're on fire. Why did they see licks of fire on the head? They're a lamp. They're seeing the literal light of the world come to pass. And God says, go get some more oil. Go get filled up again. This is what's going on right now. There's a parable in the Bible that I never understood ever. And I've read this. I mean, been in church my whole life. I've heard this parable and gone, that's a weird parable. And it was revealed to me what it means. And some of you are like going, are you kidding me, Az? You're a bit slow. Maybe you know this already, but I'm going to read it right now. I'm going to get the keys to come. Matthew 25, 1 to 13. The parable of the 10 virgins says this. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oils in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were away to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him for the wedding banquet and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour." Good, John. You're going to get some at the end of this service. Let me explain it to you. If you're still, you're just like, oh, what? It says this, at the time of the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to the bridegroom, meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. Understand this. Virgins in the Bible represents purity. Those that are righteous, those that are clean before God, right? So those that have come to Jesus, who have accepted that it's by grace that we're saved and we are washed by his blood, and in the eyes of God, we are pure and we can come confidently before him. The bridegroom is Jesus when he comes back for the second time. He's coming back for his church, for the pure, for the virgins, for those that are washed in his blood. It says there are five wise and five foolish. Five of them go and they're like, yeah, we're waiting for Jesus. It's good. And five are wise. They're waiting for Jesus, but they have backup oil. And it says in this time, the bridegroom was a long time in coming and they became drowsy and fell asleep. So what it's saying is there's a whole bunch of people that came to Christ. They had a touch with God. They had a moment where they were filled by the oil. They had a revelation, but in their waiting, they became drowsy and sleepy within their faith. And in the moment that Jesus came back, this is what they do. They wake up and they go, "I haven't got any oil. Can I have some of your oil?
I need some of your oil. For us in the church, we can be like that where we go, God says, you need to go and get your own oil, right? You need to go and get a fill up. But what we do is we come to church and go to a pastor, give me some of your oil. I want your anointing. I want your touch. If the pastor prays for me, then I'll be fine. I need your oil. I need your anointing. I need your touch. I need something from you. Give me something. And God's saying, no, get your own oil. You're not John. You're saved. It's the truth of the word of God. You've confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are saved. You're going to heaven. Don't believe the lie, John. The enemy wants to attack your mind and tell you you're not good enough. It's not what you've done, it's what you've received. Give us some of your oil. No, they replied. There may not be enough for both of us. Instead, you go and get some oil, but it was too late. Holy Spirit said to me, Az, get some oil. I want to set you on fire again. So you can continue to bring light to the Redlands, to those people around you, that you will never become ineffective in the truth of who I am. Hell of a lot of people burned out, not shining. And they think, but I'm doing all this good stuff. I'm doing stuff. But God's like, here's the thing. In this time, it's not going to be how much knowledge you have. It's going to be how much of the Holy Spirit you have within you. The oil is going to, it's what matters. Trust me, intellect is not going to cut it in this next season. Why? AI can write a better preach than I can write. On a theological level, I could literally go write it like a like someone who's done studies for their whole life. Write me a preach. I could get up here and literally preach something that's been developed in 2 minutes by a computer that doesn't have a soul. So there's going to be a lot of voices in your world trying to tell you what is right based on head knowledge. This is a time for the Spirit of God to move. When the Spirit of God moves, when the Holy Spirit moves, it changes everything. I got asked to go to CHC on Wednesday to speak, and it was amazing that God had revealed to me the principle of the seed. Unless the seed dies, goes into the ground, there will not be a harvest. And on Thursday, this is what we're seeing in the world. Now, here's the thing. It was seriously insane, the timing. But as I walked in, I'm sitting at the back, and the guy there is preaching, and he goes, I want you to pray for a fresh anointing. If you feel a fire on your head, stand up. There was three of us who stood up. I felt a fire burning within me. And he goes, great. So I'm standing up, and he goes, the Lord is saying something about five years. I said, 5 years is coming up October 12th for being a pastor. He literally read my mail. That's the difference. A genuine, filled up person with oil can be in tune with the Spirit. They can have eyes to see what's going on in the spiritual realm, not in the physical. I don't know about you, I want some oil. I want to be full of the Spirit of God, that when every time I step into every situation, I have the Spirit of God giving me discernment to know the wisdom to bring. I need discernment on when to open my mouth and when to shut up. There's a lot of people that right now will claim to be Christian that open their mouths on social media when they actually need to shut up. The thing is, they have all the practical knowledge and they go, I just want to represent Jesus, but they have no oil and it's ineffective. You need to make sure the people you're listening to in this season are filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just listening to worldly wisdom. I'm telling you, there are going to be so many false prophets right now, so many false teachers, so many false ideas, and the truth is going to be found in the Word of God. It has to align with the Word of God because it is the truth. So how do we get oil? How do you get it? All right, Az, I'm with you. I want some oil. Remember, it's the high priest that gives the oil. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. They waited and went, God, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Jesus did the baptism. He did the filling up of oil and set him on fire. Okay? It's nothing to do with you and I. It's a free gift.
So this is not if you're a religious or righteous person or you're really godly and you know everything. It's just a free gift. You just receive the oil, right? He sets you on fire, but here's the thing. If you feel empty in 2 days, he's actually saying, go get some more. And don't wait till Sunday until you get a word from Az. Open your Bible, get some oil. Beacon, we do not want to be once a week oil people. We want to be daily. We want to be in his presence. We want to know his word. You're like, how else do I get oil? Put some worship on in your house. Have the truth of the word of God being played in your house. Turn off the mainstream media. Turn off all those other voices, even music that you used to listen. Turn it off. Put some Christian music on. Why? It's bringing life. That's bringing death. Get some oil. How else do I get oil? Get to a prayer meeting. Get up at 5:30, man. I want to see you there. I'm not going to apologize. This is changing lives. Get there. Just get there. Be disciplined to get some oil. You will need this oil burning in your life in this season. Don't lay dormant. Don't go to sleep like the virgins went to sleep. Wake up and it's too late. Get there. Get to the prayer meetings on Tuesday night with friend and the team and they're teaching about prayer. Get to church every week. You know, it's easier if you make a strong conviction in your heart, we go to church every week, it's a hell of a lot easier to decide if I'm going to church or not. If you're one of those people like, we just decide on the day, you'll always be in this, what should we do today? But if you make a strong conviction, I need some oil, you'll just be here. Your faith becomes so much easier. You'll just be like, that's what I do. Because I need the oil. You need all the friendship and all that stuff. But you need oil more than anything. So we're going to stand up right now. We're going to receive some oil. God wants to, he wants you to be a lamp. You are a light unto the world. He wants you to burn bright. Without oil in the lamp, you can't burn. Some of you are feeling empty. There is no oil in the lamp. You just need a refilling. It's a free gift. We have to come to him boldly and say, Jesus, fill me. Fill me with your oil. It's good, isn't it, John? Holy Spirit, fill him with your oil right now. Fill him with your oil. Fill him with your oil. You gotta be bold in your faith. If you want the oil, here's the thing. We've been too lackluster in church, to be honest. I'm gonna be honest. We make everything so comfortable. Really, the way in which I say this to you, you're like, serve me as. You do it. No, you do it. Go get some oil. And what I mean by that, if you need oil, come out of your seat. Move forward and go, God, I need your oil. I need to burn again. Right now, come out of your seat. If you need oil, come out of your seat. You do it. It's your responsibility to get the oil. No one else is getting it for you. No one else can give you their oil. God has individual oil for you. He wants to fill you up. He wants to give you strength so you can shine bright, so you can burn bright. Just move. Just move. The moment of movement, stepping out, is actually you saying, I'm not in control. I'm actually going to let you fill me, God. Like, it's just literally just between you and God. God, my moving is showing you that I actually need it. I can't do it without you. Just move. Just, even if it's just to the edge of your row, you're like, that's as much faith as I've got right now, God. But I just need your oil. Some of you are full of oil. You're like, I don't need any more oil. I'm on fire right now, and you know it. That's good. You're going to pray for others to get some oil. Lift your hands towards heaven. But we are a church beacon. We are a light in this city. The Redlands will be one for Christ when people see the light in our life, when they see real burning oil. That's when it will change. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation of us being lamps. We need to be filled with your oil. We need your Holy Spirit. Yes, we want to know your word. We need truth. We need to make sure that it's in line with your word, God, because your word is truth. You are truth. But God, we need your spirit to set us on fire. May we be bold. Everyone's eyes are open and ready to receive the gospel in this city. So God, may we open our mouths and say, you got to come with me. You need to know the Jesus I know. Bring him next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.